Blog
Show with Sherry Edwards and Richard Olson, sponsored
by Richard.
Good morning. We're brought to you by our friends and allies at the Institute of Bioacoustic Research. And this is the show for February 27th, 2011. In a few minutes, we're going to have on a guest, Jennifer Robin, who wrote the book Growing More Beautiful, An Artful Guide to Style, talking about colors. And I know Sherry wants to make some announcements, so good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. I don't know exactly what kind of announcements I want to make.
I think you want to talk about, I know I want to hear about the Parkinson's class.
Oh, yes, that was a wonderful class that we did, and Dr. Rogers, I can't think of it, Robert Rogers, he's not an MD, he's a PhD. We did a class with him and on Parkinson's Recovery, that's the name of his show, and we are going to put that up on our site as a link so people can watch what we did with Parkinson's and some fantabulous stuff. You were there. But also he has it on his website, Parkinson's Recovery, and you can listen to the audio portion of it. He's leaving it up on the site as sort of a featured thing. But we did Michael J. Fox. You know, for years I sat back and watched people deteriorate. I watched Superman deteriorate, even though we offered to help, and the only response we got was, give us money for our research. There's so many things. I mean, even with 9/11, we knew how to take care of the fireman's cough that happened in that terrible tragedy. And even demonstrated it for the union, but they wanted us to pay to come in and do the 17,000 firemen. We just didn't have the money. We're a tiny nonprofit, broke most of the time, organization. But at this time, I decided I was going to try to help Michael J. Fox, and so we did a evaluation of him, and we found out that he has an enzyme. His is genetic, and it's something called COMT, and I'm showing that to our WebEx participants right now. And if any of you want to join us on WebEx, go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and on the front page is Blog Talk Radio and a link at the bottom so you can see what we're doing here. The COMT degrades dopamine, which is one of the issues with Parkinson's, norepinephrine, and other kinds of things like that. So we did Michael J. Fox's evaluation from several different perspectives. We did it from at least four YouTubes throughout the years, from 2006, 2009, 2011. And all through his chart, the COMT, which is a long name for an enzyme, catechol-O-methyltransferase. And it's genetic. And we have, here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, turned people around who had this kind of thing. As a matter of fact, I had early stage Parkinson's 3 or 4 years ago. That was turned around by running them through the software program. So my plea this morning is that anybody that can help us get in touch with Michael J. Fox, we need to do that. We need your help. He doesn't have to suffer this way. I remember Alex Keaton, you know, the vivacious, lively, get things done Alex Keaton on whatever show he was on. And then the other, he was always doing something, always lively. And to see him be buried in this body that doesn't work and won't take direction, we think we can help. So anybody out there, please help us get in touch with him. Spread the word. We are going to put up his profile on our site. And we've checked with the lawyers, and they said we can't do anybody's medical if they don't post it publicly. But he has said all of this publicly, so we're okay legally to set this up. You're okay legally to put it on your website or send it to anybody else, because people's medical stuff is supposed to be private. And we have a link and a map up for those of you on WebEx with us, and you can see the little blue box here at sort of the bottom middle, COMT, and this is the enzyme that his body is not making, and that translates L-DOPA to dopamine, and that's the gist of Parkinson's, that the information is not getting to the cell. So any help you can think of, any way, got a suggestion, write to me at sherryonair, S-H-A-R-R-Y, onair, at gmail.com. And go look at that Parkinson's thing. If you've got any organization in your community that deals with Parkinson's, send them those links. Encourage them to look at this. So I think those are the only two big announcements. I haven't gotten any mail much from people on Blog Talk. They are tending to go over and watch our show on Mondays on Rumor Mill News. I get a lot of mail from that. But Richard and I discussed it, and as his suggestion, we are keeping this site, the Blog Talk radio site, as bioacoustic stuff, as health stuff. And then we get to go rant and rave on that other show.
More rabble-rousing on Rumor Mill News. It's a real, and it is, it's fun for that. I like that rabble-rousing kind of nature, because both of us can jump on a soapbox at the drop of a hat and rabble-rouse about something. And I like that. But here we're talking about bioacoustic research, although I could jump in at any given moment. I think that Jennifer is on the line with us. Let me do an intro on her and talk about her book a little bit, and then I'll bring her in. This is Jennifer Robin, and her new book, Growing More Beautiful, An Artful Guide to Style, is an artful approach to developing your personal style using all of your available resources. She will share with us the art of using your body and your environment to develop and live your personal philosophy through outward self-expression. And I hope this is Jennifer.
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Greetings, Jennifer. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great. Ready to talk about color. I'm excited.
Okay, let's go. So tell us about color. Actually, I'm always interested in the question of, you know, how did this start? Where did you, you know, how did you get into this? What got you possessed about color? And I mean that in a good way.
Right. I am definitely possessed by color. You know, I've been a visual artist and painter since I was a child, and of course, you know, always grew. I grew up in Los Angeles, and always liked clothes, and but you know, was more involved in the arts and performing arts also. And in my 20s, I discovered this kind of color analysis that goes into a lot of depth, both in terms of your self-expression and the way that you present yourself to the world. And I was just fascinated by it. It really combined my interest in color and the arts with working with people in a more direct way. And you know, clothes, all the aspects of our body image, all of that, how we present ourselves, is so fundamental to how we feel in the way we go through life. So this has been my career for the last 25 years. And I wrote a book in the late 80s called Clothe Your Spirit, Dressing for Self-Expression. And that was really the beginning of the notion that we didn't need to women didn't need to wear the little suits and emulate the dress for success modality, which now is so commonplace that we want to dress individually, but 20 years ago that was not the norm and as much. And you know, I continued on with my career and continued to paint. And then I realized as I got into my 40s that whatever was supposed to be happening, that I was supposed to not like how I looked anymore, I was supposed to be feeling invisible, all those things were not happening. And I really connected that to my involvement, continued involvement with painting and art and color. And so that's how Growing More Beautiful, an artful approach to personal style, really was developed in, as a way to change our conversation from how not to look old, how not to look fat, dress for success, dress to, and really what's an extreme makeover culture now, to something that's much more related to individual creativity and self-expression. So that's how the book got started, and women are definitely responding to this idea because it's very intuitive to, as you go through life, to, it's really natural to feel more beautiful. It's just that we're told that that's something that we shouldn't be doing, that we should be going to extremes to prevent that. And this is something that's very easy to connect with.
Well, and it's so, well, I have to, right out of the gate, I have to, what about men? Why doesn't anybody do this?
Well, of course,
men.
You know, men respond to color in exactly the same way. They have the same emotional response. And the only difference is that men, boys are not socialized in each other's closets. They don't have the experience of playing with clothes, for the most part, the way that girls do. So they're sometimes a little bit later to the game in discovering what they like, what's unique to them. But it's the same desire for self-expression, to be seen for who they are, that women feel.
Yeah. Hmm.
I like hearing this part about how to dress not to look fat.
How to dress to not look fat?
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole book about that. It's called How Not to Look Fat. And what it does is make you feel bad about your fat. So it doesn't really help to just dress around it. It's something that is really, I think, an inside reality. It's a process of recognizing how you are embodied in your form, and that you don't have any apologies to make for that. It's the quest to look thinner will never end, and it will just only end in something that really isn't positive. So in my book, I really give you some alternatives to looking at some of the figurative drawings that I've done, going back to the artist, the way the artist sees the beauty in the female form.
I guess I was kind of joking there, but sort of half-heartedly. My issue in dressing to not look fat would really be for my husband, and in that case, not many clothes would be involved.
that's a different kind of a pleasurable notion than the idea of traumatic extreme makeovers to look thinner.
I think I got us on the wrong track, Richard.
That sounds like a different show.
Yeah, right, it does.
We are showing your book on WebEx. We're showing you in your, looks like a scene painting some beautiful pink trees.
Yes, they're blossoming right now. These trees are near where I live, and they're all in their little pink frills. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful time of year here in Northern California.
Well, you look all put together, but you're an art person. What about us frumpy farmers?
Well, I think that no matter what your lifestyle, where you live, what your life experience has been, you still want to be seen. Don't you feel that you would like people to recognize something about you when they meet you?
Well, I just sort of gave up.
Yeah, you're not always on the radio. I'm sure you interact with people face to face, and you know, giving up is kind of saying, I'm not really worth looking at, and I'm sure that is not the case. And it doesn't mean you need to be a fashion style person, but there is a sense of pleasure and self-affirmation that can be had in some very simple ways. And since you're involved in color, the color that you wear and the textures, fabrics, shapes, those things are all all part of what brings more pleasure both to you and to the people that interact with you.
I think, and I've said this for many years, that my message is much more important than who I am, and maybe I've set myself up for that.
Well, I think that you know, we're a visual species. We look at each other and we gather information, you know, by what we see. And it doesn't mean you have to be a fashion slave or you know, put a lot of your energy into clothing. But there is a connection between the way that we, you know, feel about our inner essence and the way that that's projected on the outside. I believe, and I believe that's a source of pleasure and satisfaction, and I think that a lot of women are in a similar situation. They have just given up because our culture says you need to be perfect, you need to follow fashion, and that's just so unrealistic. It's discouraging. So I want to invite you back in to have some fun, you know, to connect with the part of you that once upon a time really enjoyed playing dress up.
I don't think I have ever experienced that part in my life. If it was bright and it was comfortable, I'd wear it.
Well, that's better than, you know, I mean, that's definitely a choice, better than if it's drab and uncomfortable, you know. And that's, sometimes I think that women even do that to themselves. They'll pick something, you know, they're trying so hard to not be seen so that there will be no criticism aimed towards them, that they really wear things that are very dull. Do you like bright colors?
I am a winter, so yes,
uh-huh.
I like bright colors. But I came from Appalachia, a very poor part of Appalachia, and for the most part, I made my own clothes from feed sacks that you used to get at the feed store with all the cow food in it, and there just wasn't much of a choice.
Well, I can understand that. And then where did you go from there?
To a university position where I wore all of these little cute suits and shoes and hats that matched and that were very uncomfortable. And now I'm back into my comfortable, bright orange and anything that I like slavering on with it. But, you know, if it covers my parts and it's comfortable, I seem to be okay with it.
Well, that's, you know, there's a big wide world of options out there, and I am definitely not the fashion enforcer. You know, I believe people should do what they want. I just find that so many women, probably some that are listening right now, are very discouraged, that they want to find things that they enjoy wearing, but it's overwhelming out there. You know, where do you start? How do you feel as you get older? How can you feel that you're not just disappearing, that you're the personal growth that you feel inside is somehow matters and can be reflected on the outside in a positive way.
That's my method. Well, I'm going to fit that into what we're saying here. When I wear something pastel, I feel dull and drab and disappearing. So I guess my thing is color, and the more color on whatever I'm wearing, mixed colors, the more happy I am. So
well, that's, you know, and that's what we're hoping, that people will connect with the pleasure of wearing color. And I think that you said you like to mix them, and that's an art, very artistic pursuit. You know, I take a lot of pleasure in that too. What happens if you put purple and orange together, or bright green with bright blue? What are the colors that really please me when I mix them together? And that really is a good place to start. And doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I work in the fashion business. You know, I'm in San Francisco at the fanciest fashion stores. But I still have a sense of what is it that I like. What, you know, what pleases me, what makes me happy. And it sounds that you're the same.
Well, talk a little bit about your color system, because I've definitely learned I'm not a spring, as you talk about in your book. So give us the gist of how you divide people up in your book. With color.
Okay, well, I think that we have a lot of intuition about what is right for us, because there's this very specific sensation called resonance, and it's when you look at a certain color, there's something that you feel that's almost like a hum in your body, you know, that you have this wonderful notion that this is something right for you. And a lot of that is a feeling sensation. And then the other way that we sense about color is just basic, through the basic mirror, looking in the mirror. So when I look in a mirror, what am I looking for when I have a color on? What happens to my complexion? What happens to my features? And the more, like, it's something very basic for me is that, say, bright green, chartreuse, lime green, gold, camel, all those colors, like you, I'm also a winter. Those colors, I look sickly. I look like I have a disease. Very unflattering. Whereas when I put on shades of purple, blue, deep red, then I feel like I've come alive. So there's the first step is really just noticing. But then we're looking for more subtle nuances. So the way I divide that up is can you see as you look in your mirror, as you develop your eye, are you better, just talking about reds, are you better with a warm red, coral, brick, peach, salmon, or better with a cool red, which would be more the true pink, cherry red, wine color? Which family of reds is best for you? And then are you better with the deeper tones or the softer, lighter tone? So it's warm and cool, light and dark in terms of red is where I start.
Mine is burgundy to sort of cherry.
Yes, that's the same. That's what mine is. And you know that when you wear those colors, you feel just better. You know, those feel like home. And it's nice to know, you know, it's nice to know that there's some colors that can bring out that quality and that sensation.
Why do you think we respond to color that way?
It's so hardwired into our DNA. You know, that's a real key aspect to our species, is that we respond to color. And that's why we love to look at nature, love to look at art, and I think, you know, love to look at each other and feel that. You know, it to me, if I saw you in your most comfy, loose, you know, whatever it is that you like to wear, if you had a color that was wearing a color that was part of your that was flattering to you, that was part of your makeup and self-expression, I would be drawn to you. That I'm more aware of that than I am. I'm not standing back waiting to judge. I'm looking to connect, and color really helps us do that.
Do you think there's a difference in the color that we want to wear and the color that we want to look at?
Well, that's really why it's been interesting for me to have a parallel life as a fashion consultant and a painter. So I know that I'm very attracted to all the colors in nature, particularly creamy yellow that's got a kind of a tinge of apricot to it. And I use that a lot in my paintings, but it's not a color that looks good on me. So I feel like my life is, I live in broad spectrum. I can look at any color. I can surround myself with it in my home. I can admire it in nature. But when it comes to the clothes I actually buy and wear, I want to look nice. So I pick colors that really do bring out my most, you know, that really enhance my features and my coloring. But I think that's what's kept me so involved in painting, too, is I don't want to be limited to just what I can wear. I want to look and be engaged with all the colors that attract me.
Okay, I didn't say anything because I was looking at your voice. I was taking a vocal print, which is what we do at the center. We look at the frequencies of someone's voice, and we translate those into color. In your case, you said you like F and F sharp. So I'm going to go on a tangent here in a minute. That's related to the colors. You said you like green. That's related to F and F sharp. Do you think that because you really like the greens that you like spring best? And I love orange, so I like the fall best.
Well, I'm looking at your note correlation chart.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I have that in front of me. So you said that I'm a F?
Well, you just said you liked the colors.
Oh, F sharp, here we go.
You like the colors of green.
Well, I like the full spectrum of color. You know, the color I'm probably the most attracted to besides red is the color of the ocean. All the blue-greens, the Caribbean blue, you know, really aquas, turquoise, that whole, I have to go whenever I can, I have to look at photos of beautiful Hawaiian or Caribbean beaches, that, and even the water up in northern Canada, some of that blue is what really just my heart just expands for that color. That's what I love to look at the most. Now, that color is something I can also wear. So I feel that those are the most, the colors that, and my eyes are also that color. So I think that that's not an accident that my blue-green eyes and all the blue-green watercolors and are something that that I look and feel my best in. And then I'd say second to that would be also the reds, the red of a red, crimson rose, cherries, all those colors. So, but I don't want to be limited to just the colors I can wear was what I was saying. So I paint with everything because nature is broad spectrum.
Well, the note you have the most of is gold. So that's what you would probably not be comfortable with. But the notes that you have missing are the G's and the G sharp, which is all those teals and blues that you're talking about. So you just told me you're right-brained, which we probably knew from all of your pictures and writing books and the multitude of things that you do and counseling other people. You have to be whole or right-brained. So I was just sneaking a peek here to see what.
That's pretty interesting to me. Fascinating. All color is fascinating. I've got the little chart here. I'm looking to see what that means.
I will send you a printout of this. We sometimes do vocal prints on the show, and we have just had a request here to put your vocal print up.
Oh, cool. How cool. It's true. I definitely would not wear, the color I would never wear would be gold and camel and, you know, those warm yellow tones. Although I like to look at them. I love to paint with them.
Well, you have so much of it in your voice, you're full.
How
you
interesting.
You don't need it anymore. So I think when I have to wear orange all the time, then I know that I have a pancreatic problem. This is what your print said. Are you interested in what your print said? I don't
know. Sure.
You have a high degree of intuition when it comes to listening to what people are not saying. That's probably the reason you're a good consultant for people. You have strong opinions about protecting others who don't have the ability to protect themselves. You will come back again and again to a situation that is unsettled until you find an answer that satisfies you. It's distressing to you when someone is attempting to prove you wrong. Let's go down to your future stuff. And this is about three pages here. You like to plan by talking about how things are going to be done. Discussions about people's motives are a source of inspiration. You like to be creative, but like to try your ideas with someone you trust first. You are tolerant of long-winded people because you see through their pretense to their needs. Your self-esteem comes from what you accomplish. You don't tolerate fools who repeat information they can't defend. Is that you?
Oh, to a T. I'm laughing because my husband's sitting right here beside me listening to this. He listens to all my radio shows. He's great. He goes with me to my TV appearances. He's fantastic, and I wish he could have heard that because he'd be smiling right now because that was just exactly described me perfectly. So you're going to send me that so I can let him see it.
Okay, they have not provided me your email address. Don't give it to me on the air unless you want everybody to have it.
Okay, well, we'll take care of that then.
Okay, well, you can write to me at Sherry, Sharry, on air, at gmail.com, and I'll get your
address. All right, Sharry, Sherry, on air, at gmail. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. You know, I'm always fascinated by color and all the different manifestations of it and all the ways that all the things we can learn from it and all the healing aspects of color. And I'll tell you, as a fashion professional, I struggle just to get people to stop wearing black all the time. You know, it's very difficult to, whenever I talk to someone in New York, all I hear is, you know, do I have to give up my charcoal? Do I have to give up my black? And there's not giving up. It's just I feel that you know, we're limiting ourselves, and the fashion industry is really trying to straitjacket people by so much emphasis on black when it's such a beautiful, colorful world, and color is so healing.
Black.
And what is that? I want to jump in as the guy and say, so what is that with the black thing? Is that just sort of that old school Donna Karen, or you know, wherever that came from? I'm, you know, using that name because I know it. I mean, that's just a trend that started, and like you say, it's always amazing to me that years later I see some people, you know, on TV, and they're still wearing the same colors or outfits or style that they wore 20 years ago because they think they can't get out of black or gray, as you say. Is
well,
that,
very,
is that just really a trend
that got
implanted?
It's very economic that if you convince people that black is the, you know, the, their best choice, then the manufacturers, the whole industry, limits their failure rate, because if you put a lot of color out, somebody might not want to buy that particular color. But if we can, if the black, really, if you narrow people's options, then there are going to be fewer returns, fewer items left unsold. And in fact, that's the way the industry operates, but that's not true, that the first things to sell in department stores and clothing stores are beautiful color. And it's just, I really believe it's an economic thing. I think it's also part of really brainwashing almost people in our culture that it's only cool to wear black, that color, you know, you'll look like a circus tent. And it's all, you know, we're in a very severe fear-based culture around clothes and appearance. And it's almost like we're kept that way so that we buy into this whole idea that we've got to be thinner, we've got to spend more money, we've got to keep up with the current fashions. That's why, this is my soapbox, but I believe it can be accomplished in a gentle, more pleasurable, more enjoyable, inviting kind of a way, because that's the only way that change happens.
For me, and Richard, interrupt me if you have another question, you know, I'm,
sure.
I want to defend black. I want to say I feel very secure and foundational, earth in touch with browns and blacks. And I love wearing a deep teddy bear brown with black. So black to me is an accessory, but it's still, I don't care if it's my underwear, but I need to have something on me that has a piece of black in it. That's my touch to the earth. And I think people who need to wear white somehow, that's their touch with spirit, because white is the combination of all light color, and this black muddy kind of color is a combination of all pigments.
You sound very connected to your choices. You know, I like black and brown together too, and I like orange, and I like all, you know, you're talking about, you like bright colors, you like black. You have a sense that you're going to do what you please, that really what pleases you, and you've been through so many stages in your life that you're, you know, you're not in the uncomfortable business wear anymore. You're going to do what pleases you. And if black is part of that, it's a perfectly legitimate and important option. It's that people feel that they don't have options, that they'll only be okay if they're a certain way, and that's the message that I'd like to try to shift.
I stick all my clothes in my closet in color combinations because I have to dress for my mood, except one piece of clothing. I love hip huggers. I just like the way they feel. But I dress. I'm a purple one day and a, you know, an orange the next, but it's my mood that dictates.
Well, and being in a mood for black is perfectly fantastic. You know, there's nothing that I have against that. It's the feeling that, it's the sense that that's the only color you can wear, or you can only wear what you're told is in the latest style, whether it's black, white, charcoal, khaki, you know, all these neutrals, whatever it is, you need to be a slave to following that. And I think that I want to encourage people to find what colors really move them, what make them feel good when they put them on in the morning. You know, we have to get dressed every day, and it should be an experience of pleasure, of something that is like a delicious meal, putting on wonderful color and playing around with that. It's something not to be missed, and I hate that people are feeling that they can't do that because the fashion industry is dictating black, khaki, whatever, denim, whatever colors, you know, are considered cool in the moment.
What would you advise to somebody who put on a color and they didn't feel comfortable with it, like to have to go to work? Change their clothes, or that's what they're supposed to wear today, or everybody wears
clothes? No, I, you know, I only have colors that I feel good in. But if I put something on and I just it doesn't feel right, if I have an extra few minutes, I'll always change my clothes because I know it'll for some reason it's not aligned with what I'm where I am in that day, and I know it'll bother me all day long. So you know, I sometimes because I get up early and go to work, I think the night before what I'm going to wear, but I usually have a few options so that I can see when I wake up in the morning what my mood is. And I think if you have something, some clothes that are in colors that you don't like or look good on you, I think you should take them out of your closet and pass them on to someone they'd look better in.
Can you go ahead and explain the rest? We've talked about winter. How about spring, fall, and summer?
In terms of colors? Mm-hmm. It is very reflective of the seasons. The winter palette has a lot of contrast. It's like a winter day with the strong, on a clear winter day, or even a snowy winter day with those strong, stark tree branches against the sky. And there's the more dramatic cloud shapes and stormy. There's a real intensity to winter, and the colors are very deep and saturated. And the opposite from that is let's go through the year, and then as winter starts to change into spring, the earth is reborn. We see blossoms, green, much lighter color palette, but also. Spring is a time of year when you see orange and purple together, and so the spring colors, there's lots of mixing of brights and wildflower shades, all the beautiful bright colors that bloom, and a spring color palette is warmer, and people also can be kind of on the cusp, which is where I am. If you look at my photograph, there's a sparkle and a lightness to my winter feeling. I love to paint blossoms so much, because at this time of year, here in California, we're turning from winter to spring, and there's still a lot of stormy, snow-covered peaks, but we see blossoming trees and green hills, and so I particularly resonate with the season. And Sherry, didn't you say there was a time of year when you felt the best?
Fall.
And is it late fall when it's getting close to the holidays and the days are shorter?
It's all of those orange leaves that turn in the fall around here in Ohio.
Well, that's such a gorgeous time of year. It's like the world puts on this neon show, and the fall colors are so saturated with brilliance and warmth, and also there's actually a lot of purple in the fall. Purple, there's a lot of purple in the sky. It's a lot of red violet. It's a warmer palette, and that orange is really beautiful. And again, there's some people who are kind of on the cusp of fall winter. And many Latino people are, that's that beautiful, rich, warm, deep coloring. So I have never limited my notion of what people can wear to very strict guidelines of seasons. There is a natural way that people's coloring does fall into categories, and that's been going on since, that's kind of was noticed in the 1940s, and it's continuing on. So that's how we got into this idea of people being categorized as a season. But there's so much variation and within, if you can think what's the beginning of winter like compared to the end of winter. That's really, people fall into fall all the way across the spectrum.
We're looking at some of the paintings in your book. There's a lot of this purple pink. Is that kind of your theme color?
Well, you know, it's really funny. I people talk about going on a diet, and there's been times when I've had to go on a purple diet in my paintings because sometimes I just go crazy. I love using purple. It's my favorite dark. So it will always show up in my artwork. I very strongly resonate to purple, particularly eggplant and that really rich kind of deep purple, not the cool purple so much as the deep red violet. And that's just the natural. Some of my paintings are really quite cool, so I do gravitate towards to those colors. And although if you look at my paintings, some of them are colors I would never ever wear, but they just, you know, the color just, the, my love and longing to be around color just pours out of me. It has since I was a little kid. I just have always loved interacting with paint and fabric and jewelry and makeup and whatever colorful thing there is. That's what I want to be doing. And I think that affects how we look. I think that whatever it is that you love and are passionate about, when you're engaged in that, then that's the best beauty treatment there is.
We have a question from our audience. We're showing one of your paintings. It's like a pathway with pink and purple trees kind of overlapping over it. They want to know, do you paint just for yourself, or are these things for sale? How can they get in touch with you?
You can go to my website, and I have a whole gallery on both my websites. And if painting hasn't sold, then it's definitely for sale, you know, so people can enjoy it that way too. So when you look at my website, there's two different both my websites have galleries
What's the name of your site?
It's growingmorebeautiful.com.
Okay.
Is one, and the other website is clotheyourspirit.com. And both have painting galleries on them.
C-L-O-T-H-E, Clothe Your Spirit.
Clothe Your Spirit. And if you go to Growing More Beautiful, there's a link right on the homepage that takes you right to Clothe Your Spirit. It's easy to find. So that's the name of my image consulting business and my first book. And so that's where I talk all about what it's like. People wonder, what's it like to hire an image professional? What does that mean? You know, there's a lot of misconceptions about that. So I talk a lot about my services on that site. And Growing More Beautiful is where you can read my blog, and I'm going to write about the Academy Awards tonight, and there's also podcasts and videos and all the information about really this new philosophy and how I'm sharing it with women. That's on the Growing More Beautiful site.
That was another question that came in. How do you evaluate people? Do they need to be with you? How can we find our style? I guess that's three questions.
Well, they can definitely connect with me. There's a lot, just like you were able to pick up a whole wealth of information from my voice. You know, like it said, I am really quite intuitive about listening to people, seeing photographs, talking to them, finding out what their individual needs are and what would enhance that.
Do they need to be with you?
No, they don't.
Does the shape of the clothes have anything to do with any of this, or is it just the color?
Oh, shape, of course. You know, we are in form. You know, we're not just a color vibration. And all the ways that, you know, the more we look at ourselves with curiosity instead of criticism, the more we can understand what the curves of our body really say about who we are. And, you know, as an artist, I see beauty in all things, that the human form in all its sizes and variations is really very beautiful to me. And I have a chapter in my book that talks about that process of learning to see and how, as a painter painting the figure, you need to see how the parts connect to the whole. And that's what I hope that readers can take away with. Instead of thinking of our bodies in such a critical, you know, you like your shoulders but you hate your butt, you know, your belly is a source of shame but you like your ankles, you know, instead of thinking that way, really learning to see how the parts all interrelate. And in addition to color and the comfort of clothes fitting, they also really need to, when they fit well, you have a whole different sense of the shape of your body. So I'm a big believer, of course, in not only clothes being comfortable, but fitting well. So that's just part of, it's almost, let's put it this way, Sherry, it's almost like people are a little bit blurry. And when you get them, help them find the right colors and shapes, they come into focus.
Okay, I guess we didn't answer the lady's question before.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the question?
She said, take us through the steps. People would go to your website, they'd get in contact, then what would happen?
Then, it, you know, depends. What if she, you know, if she contacts me, then I can see what it is she wants to learn and help her that way. I'll get back to her if she sends me an email through my website.
So they don't have to come to you?
No, they don't.
And they would send you answers to questions or photographs.
Well, first I find out, you know, what they were interested in. Were they, are they interested in color? Are they interested in advice with their wardrobe? Are they wanting to bring more creativity into their life? I do all kinds of different coaching and consulting. And if she really wants advice about her clothing or her colors, then I'd figure out how we would go through that. It depends on where she lives and what her situation is.
Okay, she's given me the real question.
Okay.
I love color, but they insist on dark at my office. I can't breathe. I come home and tear my clothes off because I can't stand the dark stuff. How can I deal with this?
Oh, that's change jobs. You know, I had somebody else who worked for Calvin Klein, and they said they could only wear black or white to work, and you could only have black and white flowers in the office. I said, well, you know, she left that job. Yeah, I think that's very important. That how does she deal with that? I mean, that's very oppressive and clearly oppressing her spirit. What would you say, Sherry?
I would say wear something underneath that gave you your color.
Oh, well, there you go. I've never been asked that question before. I don't know. If she loves her job, she would need, you know, really wants to stay there. She would just need to find a way to nourish her spirit in other ways, maybe that allowed her to look at other color rather than tune into really what she's wearing. You know, maybe she has a little set of watercolors with her, you know, that she can do a little bit of painting, a few crayons, something. If I was in that situation, I would find a way to engage my eye, you know, not really pay attention to what I was wearing as much as what I was looking at.
That's a great idea. Or just have a little color palette book there.
Especially watercolor. You know, watercolor that you can brush on. Anytime that we pick up a paintbrush, something happens that makes us feel better. I like crayons too, but water media is very nurturing because of the way that the paint goes on the paper with the water.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question just for me. Every time I look at Michelle Obama, she seems starched and incredibly uncomfortable.
Oh.
what's your style and what would you recommend?
Oh, it's so hard. You know, I think it's because we really want to take the blackness out of African Americans. You know, when if you see what happens to their hair, you know, how their hair really has to be a certain way, straight. You know, that the amount of processing that goes into that to hair to get it that way, we sense. I think you sense in your heart that we've taken away something from her essence. And you might want to mention to people that aren't seeing me that I have this kind of wildly curly gray hair. And I get a lot of comments about it because it's so untraditional in a sense for where I live. But it's true. I have a similar feeling that there's no way to be really comfortable and relaxed as a first lady. And she's doing her best to navigate that. It's stressful. I feel for her, but I think she looks, you know, really very beautiful, and it's just, that's a tough road. She has my sympathy and support.
Okay, we're showing your picture here so people can see your beautiful hair, and you're in a white and pink, that purple pink shirt and a pink in the middle, so people are seeing you. What is the style of Jacqueline Kennedy versus the style of Lady Gaga?
Well, look, you know, there's such an extreme. Did someone ask that question? That's a hilarious question. You know, Lady Gaga is doing all she can to rebel. And you know, we always need extremists in our culture to make us notice that there's lots and lots of rules that we can break. You know, for a while, Lady Gaga even was wearing a gray wig, and I was kind of cheering. I'm going, yeah, let's get my hair color to be the latest fashion. Instead of people shunning gray hair and quickly dyeing it, let's put it front and center. You know, I like that. And you know, of course, first ladies have to be extremely aware of what everyone around the world is thinking of them and their role. And so it's a certainly a different way to be in the public eye. Let's put it that way.
We could look at Lady Gaga versus any normal kind of human. There'd be a contrast to it. We have another question from the audience. What's color is important, but what about solids and plaids and mosaics and flowers? Does that play a part?
Well, sure. You know, patterns. I have to say, you know, I love patterns. I'm looking right into my closet as I'm sitting here talking to you, and I'm seeing polka dots and I see flowers and I love patterns, and I love mixing patterns. And I think the biggest thing about patterns is that they're personal. What you like is not necessarily what I like. And if plaid is in and you don't like plaid, then wait until something comes in. You know, wait for something you do like. And there's more freedom than ever before to really wait for that. And also, you know, my really most favorite thing, I teach a class on this, is pattern mixing. I love to mix things like polka dots with fur, you know, fake fur, or flowers with stripes. I'm kind of nutty that way. That's my artistic temperament, really, you know, trying to find it an outlet. Especially, I think a lot of pattern as from an artist's perspective, as texture. So a small pattern really can look like texture against a solid. And we're always looking to create movement and interest, and patterns are, you know, really wonderful for that, especially mixed with layers of jewelry. And, you know, it's really the thing that I enjoy the most. And if you look at my blog, I talk about that a lot, about the ways of mixing up patterns and how to do that. I think there's a blog on that on my website.
Somebody's asking or saying, there is a limit, though. Lady Gaga's meat costume is just...
Oh, God, I know. You know, I think she just tried to see how far she could go before everybody recoiled, and that was really what did it. You know, I think I had a similar reaction to that. But, you know, that's what shock is all about. You know, you got to keep shocking people until they're really shocked, and that kind of, I agree with your listener, that put me back, that took me aback, too.
Richard, you have a comment about Lady Gaga?
you know I'm over here biting my tongue. Of course I do. I think Lady Gaga is just trying to counter, you know, all those people wearing black. I think she's trying to rattle people. Well, I think primarily that Lady Gaga is a money-making machine, and she knows how to keep herself in the eye of the media. And, you know, she's a very skilled musician. I mean, she writes all her own music. It's not like she's just some flash in the pan. She knows that she has a certain amount of time to make money, and she's doing everything she can to keep herself in the eye of the media, and she's very good at it. And somewhat facetiously, I think she is trying to, you know, make people think about alternatives. The meat costume was over the top, but, you know, so is everybody.
If you're
going to
shock people, you got to do it. You know that.
You
got to
do it.
Did.
You know
that,
the idea of being in an office where you can only wear black or white to me is just like the meat costume.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
You know, I'm a person who likes. I wear a lot of Hawaiian print shirts, so I'm a guy who's willing. You know, I'm comfortable in who I am. I'm not tall, I'm not thin, I'm, you know, stocky, short, and wide, but I'm a guy who's comfortable with who I am, and I wear a lot of Hawaiian print shirts because I like them. I like the colors, I like the brightness of them, I like the patterns, I like the style. But in my life, I was thinking about you, Jennifer, when I was thinking about, for me, the sky. I was a professional photographer for a number of years, and I still do it as a relaxation for myself. And I spend a lot of time, or I'm, you know, sort of possessed in a certain way of, you know, photographing sky and clouds and trees and mountain ridges, and a lot of work where either landscapes or I'm really drawn to that color that's in the sky. And it's when it's that really vibrant, like we have sky in common, because I think I'm in Marin and you're somewhere in Sonoma, I think. So we're in the same kind of, you know, part of the country. And the sky is that just amazing blue this time of year with the clean, you know, it's rained, it's beautiful,
yes.
It's clean. And it's just, it's stunningly gorgeous. And I actually did also want to make a comment, not about Gaga, but I think it's really interesting, the thing that both of you bumped into was the idea of what Sherry was talking about, with the thing that we like to look at may be the color that we're not already full of. Like when she was running your vocal profile and finding that you're already full of a color, and that's not the color you necessarily enjoy looking at, but maybe that's part of our own built-in therapy, is that we're seeking the color that will complete our, you know.
Well, I know that as I listened to you, when we switched from the meat conversation, which was kind of, you know, my whole body tensed, and we went into talking about the color of the sky, I could just feel my body filling with that color. And that looking at the colors in nature, and particularly when you interact with them, taking photographs, doing a painting, doing a sketch, finding some way, you know, a tangible connection other than just glancing, I think it really deepens our experience and of being alive, our pleasure at being alive, and I'm hoping to translate that a little bit into the fashion industry so people can find more pleasure in getting dressed and feel less critical of themselves and less open to that kind of healing that you're talking about.
We have run out of time, but we've got three really important questions. Richard, how do you feel about going on for a couple minutes?
Sure, I think that'll be fine. We might lose the live stream on Blog Talk, but the whole show will be archived, so I think that's great.
Marcel wants to ask a question about gold versus silver jewelry.
Yes, that has a lot to do with your skin tone and your hair color and your eye color. So clearly, for me, with my silver hair and blue eyes, I'm always much more attracted to silver next to my face. On the other hand, I love to mix silver and gold. So if you're more warm-toned, gold will be look more integrated. But there's no rules that you can't wear something that you like. And also, I do like the two metals mixed together.
Well, Marcel also says, I'm a note of E at birth, and I like yellow, and I'm very attracted to gold. Well, the note of E is the yellow. D sharp is actually the gold. But you can see why she might be attracted to gold jewelry more than anything else.
Well, and I think, too, that we go through different phases of needing different colors. Sometimes when you're unwell, a certain color will just feel so healing and nurturing, and others will be too strong. So I always believe in follow that, you know, follow that guiding light.
Well, it's another question that came in. What if you only like one color and nothing?
I think you need to do a little more looking. You know, I think that that there's the color in your eyes, the color in the reds that surround you. What did she say? What color she likes?
No, just I only like one color. Is there something wrong with me? Is the question.
I just say start looking around outside out in nature and see what other colors attract you. I don't think there's something necessarily wrong with you. I think that you know, you're missing something. Maybe she only likes to wear one color. I don't know.
I would invite her to do a vocal print or to just to download the program. It's free, where you look at your own color, and it's Nano, N-A-N-O, voice, nanovoice.org. Just pull it down and look at it and see what your colors are. Usually the colors you have too much of will be very high in number in your chart, and then the ones that you show nothing in, those are usually the ones you need. Here's another question. Do you recommend that people just forget fads and wear their own thing?
Well, I think that a fashion, let's call it, you know, or fads, it's like a smorgasbord, that there's all these different choices out there. And they're not something you have to be a slave to. They're just something that you can be aware of as an option. For example, right now we're seeing kind of a resurgence of what bohemian style with, you know, full sleeves and kind of the, maybe hippie dresses, whatever you want to call them. And I'm very attracted to that. So I'm thinking, goody, let me see if I can find myself a big peasant blouse with big puffy sleeves. On the other hand, geometric shapes and abstract, very stark, high contrast colors are also a fad right now, and I don't like that. That doesn't appeal to me because it doesn't have enough flow, and it's just not my, with all my curls and curves, that doesn't grab me. So what I'm saying is, if you want to look fashionable, or you want to look, I mean, it doesn't sound like it would, it's for everyone to care about fashion, but if you do, as I do, it's part of my life and lifestyle, I look at the fads as options for me to further express myself. And I think it's if you want to care about your appearance in that way, it's good to keep looking forward, try something new, something that looks modern. It helps you feel good about yourself.
Take somebody with you who'll tell you the truth when you're trying stuff on.
Absolutely.
Richard, we have two comments. I think both of them are aimed at you. We love your idea of Hawaiian shirts, so we could find you. We could spot you in a crowd.
I can be spotted.
I sort of had the same feeling. I was kind of smiling hearing that story about you and your Hawaiian shirts, and both of you. You know, if we were all at a party, I'm just looking for the person really where, like you said, you feel comfortable with yourself and you love Hawaiian shirts. Now that's attractive to me. And Sherry, who loves to wear bright colors and orange and does what she wants, pretty much, that's also attractive to me. And that's people that have a sense of who they are and are reflecting that in whatever way that they can. I also love the aesthetic of a beautiful outfit, of, you know, really nice clothes that are coordinated, and the jewelry is and the makeup and all those things and hair all go together to somehow make that alchemical magic. I like that too. So there's room for everything. And the art form of fashion and beauty are something that will always be with us and something that I embrace too.
That's a great hint. If you want to talk to like people at a party, just see who's dressed in your colors.
Or see who you like. That's the thing that is so true, is like attracts like. And that's why I emphasize wearing something that feels expressive, so that people can find you and you can find each other. It's really what we want. That's what this is all about.
I would approach somebody that looked very comfortable. If somebody looked up tight, I'd stay away from them. Here's another comment for you, Richard, probably. People are following Gaga's costumes because Naked just didn't do it. Because Naked didn't do it. And she did. She had a lot of costumes that was, you know, she had a little Band-Aid here and a little triangle there. So they're following these outrageous costumes because Naked didn't do it. Nancy, that's a great comment. We want to get people in touch with you, growingmorebeautiful.com and clotheyourspirit.com. That will put you in touch with Jennifer Robin, with her art, and with her expertise at helping you find your inner self, which I think is a great idea. I really appreciate there's no more questions from the audience here. So, Richard, do you have any last thoughts?
Do you have a... I don't want to call it a 12-step program, but do you have a, like the woman who was commenting about she only likes one color, do you have a either a process or a way for people to expand their, you know, easily rather than going in and going, oh, no, you're not I don't know anything about colors. So you're not a winter, you're a fall, and you should be wearing these colors, you know, like a one step. You go out and get a this. You go out and buy a scarf. You get a bag. You get a pair, you know, is there a gateway? Again,
well, that's, you know, my book, Growing More Beautiful, has philosophy, but it's also a step-by-step. You know, I solve problems. Buying clothing is about real-time situations, you know, a mom who's got to pick up her kids from school and then be somewhere in the afternoon, works a night shift, whatever. All these things are problems in search of solutions. So in my book, I walk you through the entire process of starting with body image, color, you know, moving on, you know, your closet, your lifestyle, all those things. It's a self-help book. It's written, you know, to give you that guidance that you need, but also inspire you and that's why there's not before and after pictures of people. There's there's photographs of beautiful scenes and paintings to help inspire you and lift your spirits, just like your description of the blue sky. That's what you need when you're working with this kind of sensitive area. Things that make you feel good.
Very beautiful quality book with a picture of it up, Growing More Beautiful, and Artful Approach to Personal Style. It has 5 stars, highest rating, and it is such a beautiful, hearty book. It's a it's a heavy book.
It is a heavy book.
Quality.
220 pages.
I don't see how Amazon can sell it for the price they have here, $18.96. The list price is $29.95, but they must be selling a lot of them.
They do. They sell a lot of them. Unfortunately, they're not. You know, that's they so outsell the bookstores, and that's why they they can discount it. And at that price, it is quite the bargain. It's a bargain at $29.95, in my humble opinion.
I've
as
seen
the author,
like this. This is a museum quality book.
Thank you so much. What a nice thing to say.
And it's beautiful. The pictures are beautiful. So we recommend that you get in touch with Jennifer Robin, at least through her book. And if you want to find your own style, just go to either of her websites, growingmorebeautiful.com and clotheyourspirit.com, and let us know how it turns out.
Yeah, I hope to hear from some of your listeners. And you can also, like you said, Sherry, you can get the book on Amazon for a great price.
Yeah, that's incredible. It says they have 11 left in stock. Hurry. Orders on the way.
Well, I probably have an order to fill today for it, so.
Well, after the show, we have lots of people who listen to the show and then many more people who listen to the archive.
Well,
so
great.
Give it a couple of days and you'll probably get a run on them.
Well, I'm going to be looking into what you do, too. That's very, very interesting, and I think some of my clients are going to want to check out this voice, the color voice print. That's fascinating.
Well, their classes are free, and the software is free, because like you, we think it's very, very important that people get in touch with their inner self, whether it's through sound or color or a software program or the smells they like or whatever is going on in their life.
Absolutely. That's what we're here trying to share with people, that for their own healing and well-being. Tell me your I have your email address, but tell me your website one more time.
SoundHealthOptions.com.
SoundHealthOptions.
And
yeah,
I'll also
know.
Add that this Tuesday, March 1st, Sherry has an event that happens every other Tuesday called Happy Hour, which is actually almost 2 hours. Where people can call in or join in on the WebEx conference and actually have done vocal profiling done live on in the conference format. So they can call in and find out about their colors. They can call in and ask all sorts of questions.
Well, I
and
know some people will be very interested in that. You know, that if you love color, you're interested in all the different ways that it can be supportive in your life.
Well, that's on our website. To the right of when you first go in, there's a little happy hour button, and that'll give you an invitation.
Okay,
and
great.
It's live. They can watch it happen. They can learn from it. So we love it when people join us.
Yeah, I'm sorry that my publicist didn't give me that website. She sent me the chart with the colors, and I've been looking at that, but I wasn't clear on how to learn more about what you did. So now I'm glad to have that information. I'll definitely be looking into it and sharing it with my clients that love color.
We call it Inner Sense Software. Sense as a S-E-N-S-E. So we love it when people spring and blossom into their own being.
Don't you? Isn't that what we just live for? You said it so perfectly. That's why that listener was attracted to that painting of the blossoms, you know, that archway with all the blossoming color. People love to blossom into their being. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Thank you very much, Jennifer, for being with us. I was trying to write something and talk to you and think about, am I cutting Richard off? Because he's supposed to be controlling everything on his board, and I'm just supposed to be.
Okay. Well, I had to write down blossoming.
No, we're all good. It's all copacetic. I'm waiting for the appropriate close, so I'm watching things over here.
Did you say that you're in Marin County?
I did.
Oh.
So you guys are close together? Is that what
we are. Like? We're just right next door to each other. And it's a beautiful day here.
It's a gorgeous day here. A little crisp, but, you know, compared to where Sherry is, it's balmy.
It's been raining for days and snowing for days, and it's like slush everywhere.
Yes. And do you, Jennifer, do you teach any real-time, you know, local classes? Do you do
sometimes
workshops or classes?
You know, I have really been busy since I had the publicist working on my book. She's keeping
right
me hopping. So,
right, okay.
Probably when that slows down, I'll have a little more time for that. But I'm pretty busy right now.
Bye.
Well, thank
Oops,
you.
Oops, that's the sound of a machine crashing. I know that sound from Sherry.
Yeah, that's been going on all morning here, and I was afraid to do some kind of scan. I wanted to be here for the show because it's important.
Right.
So that's the first thing I'm going to do when we hang up here, Richard.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jennifer. It's been fun, and I think I'll be in contact with you just because we're so close together.
Yeah, it's great.
I love
well,
what
thank
you're
you so much
about
for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it, and I learned a lot, and I hope we can talk again sometime.
All right. Thanks very much. And
thank you,
Sherry. I have the feeling you're over there unplugging machines and plugging machines as fast as you can.
Yeah. Till next week, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.